Appreciate the opportunity to preach today while Randy is out of town doing some ministry things in other places. This morning we're going to be reading from the book of James. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, we're going to be reading in chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. If you have a pew Bible, it's page 1881. I don't know what happened in that year, but that's the page that's in the pew Bible, 1881. And when you're turning there in your Bibles to James 1, let me remind you that these words are God's word to us. And that His word, in His word we find salvation. In His word we find truth. In His word we find life. His word never changes. It's always reliable and it's always relevant. It's always up to date. It's God's primary way of communicating to us. So let's turn there now. James 1, 19 through 27. This is the word of the Lord. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. And his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you give us eyes to see your word this morning, ears to listen, hearts to believe, and strength of will to do what it says. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How long do you think you could go without looking at a mirror? How long? Could you go hours? Maybe not even minutes? Could you go days? Could you go weeks? Could you go a year without looking at a mirror? All the women who are looking at their mirrors are putting them away right now. I'm just kidding. If I'm honest with myself, I don't think I could walk past a mirror without sneaking a glance. You know, it's my hair, you know. In fact, I think that even if I walk past any reflective surface, I'm sort of, taking a look. You know, it could be a car window, a store window, a shiny sign, a piece of plastic, aluminum foil. I'm just kidding. But think about it for a moment. Just think about it. Can you walk into a bathroom and not look at yourself in the mirror? Can you do that? For most of us, no. Now think about this, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Now think about this, though. Do we believe what we see in the mirror? Do we believe what we see before us? Or do we hope that each time we look in the mirror, it might be a little different than we saw the last time? You know, I hope it changes this time when I go to the mirror. And are we willing to change if what we see in the mirror we don't like? Are we willing to do anything about it? Well, many of you may recall the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It was a movie that Disney movie made in 1937 of a familiar story. And the main characters are, you know, the evil queen, Snow White, and the Seven Dwarfs, who were kind of goofy. And, of course, there's this magic mirror. And every day the evil queen would go to the magic mirror and ask the same question. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Well, for many days and weeks and probably years, the mirror always answered, well, you are. You are. You're the fairest of them all. Until one day. One day, the mirror said that Snow White was the fairest of them all. Well, the queen was not happy about this. And rather than accept the reality of someone being prettier than herself, she set out on this elaborate scheme fueled by jealousy to kill Snow White. Well, now you have entering dwarves and apples, disguises, a prince, and of course, memorable music, Whistle While You Work, and others. Well, for those of you who haven't seen the movie or heard the story, don't worry, I'm not going to spoil the ending. I'm going to end our story there. But I want you to notice the evil queen's relationship with the mirror. Notice that when the mirror tells her what she wants to hear, that she's the fairest of them all, she's very happy. She's pleased. She can go on because the mirror reflects to her what she wants to hear. But the moment the mirror tells her a different reality, that she isn't the fairest of them all, that she's not the prettiest of them all, she sets out to change that reality. Of course, rather than seeking to kill the one who is prettier than her, her response should have been to see a therapist and discover why she was asking the question in the first place. But, nevertheless, there is an admirable quality about the queen here. You might think that's a surprise, but there is an admirable quality. Not that she went out to kill, but that she was motivated by action. She was motivated to action by the knowledge that the mirror gave her. Now, her action should have been different. It should have been, you know, I need to maybe think about why I'm asking these questions. But, nevertheless, she was motivated to action because of something that she didn't like. Something that she knew needed to change in the mirror. Well, our passage this morning calls us to cultivate a similar quality. We're called in our passage this morning to action driven by knowledge. It's a challenge of obedience driven by faith. The message of the words of James are not only a call to live obediently, they are a call to extreme and radical Christianity. They are a call to put feet to the beliefs of our heart. We are called to be 100% committed to the ideas in which we believe. What we find in our passage this morning is a twofold message. It's a twofold challenge. It's a message that delivers first the content of Christianity and second the expression of Christianity. How do we live out our Christian faith? James 1:19, rereading, it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Have you ever noticed how difficult it is to listen to somebody when you're angry? You may not even be angry at that person. You might just be angry. It could be at that person. But have you ever noticed how difficult it is to listen when you're angry? I remember one morning when I was younger in high school, when I was really angry with one of my brothers. I mean, really angry. I don't even know why I was mad. I was just mad at this brother. My brother came into my room one morning before school to ask me about something. And at the time, I didn't even remember what he asked me about because I was so angry with him for something that happened probably days before. I was angry, and I don't think it would have mattered what he said to me because I wasn't listening. I just wanted to fight. Just wanted to fight, and so fight is what we did. As soon as the questioning words came out of his mouth, I came at him swinging. I mean, like no one else, I was Muhammad Ali, ready to take him down. I mean, I was swinging. Well, my room was in the basement, which is also where the laundry room is located. And with a large family, you know, five boys, we had lots of clothes to be washed. I mean, it was a mountain. It's probably as high as this pulpit here of clothes. Well, soon our fight found us in the clothes, and we're swinging, you know, and our fight, we were rolling around through a large pile of dirty clothes, so we were dedicated to our fight. Punches were singing, swinging, clothes were flying. It wasn't even 7 o'clock in the morning, and we were ready to go. Now, did I mention, next to the laundry room, there's a sliding, double sliding glass door. I mean, right next to the laundry room. Here's the washer and dryer, pile of clothes, glass door. Well, soon enough, our entangled bodies were moving quickly towards the glass door. And before we knew it, we slammed against it. Both of us, I mean, entangled, just wham, right against it. Well, the strangest thing happened, probably a miracle. The glass doors seemed to shape around our bodies. I'm not joking. They seemed to bend outwards like this. It was like a Matrix moment. Time froze and we were just sitting there. The glass was curved around us. We were plastered against it. And we bounced off. And they didn't even crack. It just bent and then, you know, right back. In an instant, we bounced off. We paused to look at the doors. We looked at each other. And without another word, we walked our separate ways. We were done. Interestingly enough, my brother just wanted to know if he could borrow a shirt of mine. Of course, he already had it on, which is probably why I was angry. But, of course, all I heard was, "Do you want to fight?" See, rather than react before we've even taken a chance to listen, God reminds us, He actually commands us in our passage this morning to be quick to listen, to be slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you look to the original Greek text, the meaning for be quick carries an ongoing, continual aspect, and it's in an imperative, which is a command tense. So it's as if James is saying everyone must always be quick to listen, must always be slow to speak, must always be slow to become angry. Similar words of wisdom are found in the wise writings of Proverbs, if we look to the Proverbs. My son is not being slow to speak this morning. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." Proverbs 16:32, this one's hard for us because we're Americans. We like to be conquerors and warriors. And listen to what the wisdom of Proverbs 16 says. "Better a patient man than a warrior. Better a man who controls his temper than one who takes an entire city." The words of James are wise and true, especially when we consider the object of our listening, the Word of God. James is giving us more than just simple wisdom for everyday life, and it is wisdom for everyday life, but it's more than that. He, inspired by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, is giving us the key to receiving God's Word. We must be quiet and listen. James reiterates the words of the psalmist in Psalm 46:10 when he says, "Be still and know that I am God." When we read God's Word, are we just trying to get through another verse or get through another chapter? Or are we sitting silently, soaking in the Scripture? Are we seeking to become the living plantation of God, allowing His Word to be implanted in us? Are we getting rid of all the moral filth and evil in us and humbly accepting the Word? For the Word of God is the bread of life. It contains the message of salvation for our souls. The Word of God is truth. It is the hope by which we live. This is why James says in verse 21, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Humbly accepting the word is necessary. Otherwise, we're wise in our own eyes, as Isaiah says in 5, verse 21. And we can't hear what God's saying when we're wise in our own eyes. We can't listen when we're wise, when we sort of think we know everything. We can't listen to what anyone else is saying, especially what God is saying. But Jesus, or James, the brother of Jesus, teaches us in a similar way that Jesus taught when he said, "Blessed are the meek." James here is saying, blessed are those who receive with meekness the Word of God, who receive with humility the Word and the teaching of God. And if we are coming to the Word of God with a teachable, humble spirit, then we will seek to rid ourselves of all immorality, evil desires, and sin. For how can we truly listen to God when we are blinded by our selfish desires, blinded by the idols of our hearts? In fact, part of our moral filth, part of our evil, is our instinctive nature to not listen to God. The Word of God teaches a way of life that's different. It's radically different than that of the world, and it's radically different than our natural thinking. This is why God commands us to put aside, to get rid of all moral filth, to get rid of the evil, in order that we can hear what He is saying, so that we can listen to His Word. If you've ever been to my office, and if you haven't, come on by, stop by sometime, it will be no big surprise to you to learn that I love books. I have books everywhere. We have books all over our house. A lot of them are in boxes still, but they're everywhere. In fact, one of my favorite hobbies is collecting and reading books. And I must confess, I'm probably a glutton for books, you know, a book hoarder. I like to collect them, and I have more books than I've probably read, more things on my shelf than I've actually read. But I enjoy them. And when I have a moment, I like to read, and I mostly collect and read nonfiction books, but occasionally I'll turn the page of a few fiction works every now and then. But one of my most recent favorite books is a book entitled Radical: Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream, by a guy named David Platt, who's a minister down in Alabama. It's a book that challenges Christians to step out of their boxes of convenient, comfortable Christianity, American Christianity, what he calls, and actually do what God commands. There's a thought. Actually do what he says. Now, let's say that I read this whole book. I agreed with everything the author said. I even took notes in the margin, I did that. But let's say that my response to the book ended there. I just put it back on the shelf. I said, oh, that was nice. And I just went on with life as usual. Let's say that although I wholeheartedly agree with what David Platt says, I never actually make any changes in my life. I never do anything different out of response to reading the book. I never examine myself. I never adjust how I'm living. This would be the same as if I read an instruction manual for a microwave. Here's a new microwave. I read the instruction manual from pages, cover to cover. It's done. I know how to use it. I know how to plug it in. I could cook a roast duck on that thing. I got it all figured out. But I never actually use the microwave. It just sits there. It looks pretty. Or if I thoroughly examined, the way to build a bookshelf. I drew up plans. I knew how to do it. I even bought some wood, but I never actually built it. And of course, then I could never use it. This is the mindset that James is coming to us with when he says in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I recently heard someone say that you are not the end of your own education. Think about that. You are not the end of your own education. We do not read instruction manuals so that we can say, I'm sure glad that I now know how to use a microwave. We read instruction manuals so that we can use the information we learn, so that we can put it into practice. How much more important, then, is our need to respond to the instruction manual of life, God's Word, to respond to this. If we merely listen to the Word of God and do not act upon it, James tells us that we have never truly listened to God in the first place. Those who believe they are listening to God but are not following His Word are deceived. For when we sincerely and humbly listen to God and submit ourselves to the instruction of His Word, then action will follow. There's an example that James then goes on to use here, and he uses the example of a man looking into a mirror. Reading in verse 23, he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, think about that. You look at yourself, you walk away, and how did my hair look? I don't remember. That's what it's like when we look at God's word and we don't live it out. And let's not miss the central meaning of this example. The Word of God, the Holy Scripture, is the mirror to our souls. When we look at ourselves through the mirror of God's Word, it is then and only then that we see who we truly are, that we are a fallen, broken, selfish, sinful people in need of a Savior. The Bible shows us, you and I both, our need for Christ. Our need to be picked up, our need to be whole, our need for a true Heavenly Father, our need for instruction, our need for life. When you look at God's Word and you see yourself as you really are, without the disguises that we are quick to put on, will you walk away without doing anything, without responding, without making a change, without living your life differently? Or will you be like the man James next describes in verse 25? But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The original Greek text here uses the word parakoupto. It's kind of fun to say. You can try saying it if you'd like. Parakoupto. It's a phrase that means looks intently, and that's literally what it means. It means looking intently or stooping to look intently. We find the same word used here in two other places in the Bible. Both in the Gospels of Luke and John, in both cases they're referring to the characters Peter and Mary Magdalene when they run to the tomb, the empty tomb of Christ, to look and see if Christ is in there. And of course we know that Jesus had already risen from the dead and wasn't there. In Luke 24:12 it says, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, parakoupto. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter takes a long, serious look into the tomb. And you would too if you went there thinking Jesus' body was going to be there and then it wasn't there and you go, wait a second, what's going on here? I mean, he took a serious look into that tomb because he couldn't believe his eyes. And just as Peter takes this long, serious look into the empty tomb of Jesus, James challenges us to do the same thing with the Word of God. It's the perfect law that gives freedom, he says. And we are not to look once or twice, but we are to look continually to the Word. And as we look into the mirror of God's Word, we should not forget what we look like, forgetting what we need to do, how we need to change. But we do that which God commands us. We respond with action to His Word. The Word of God gives us content to our lives, content to our Christianity, and our lives are meant to be the expression of that Christianity, the expression of this mission that God has given us. We are, as it says in the New American Standard Version of the Bible, to be effectual doers of God's Word. Effectual doers of the Word live out God's Word every day. They live it out. They love God. They love their neighbor. They seek to serve the least and the lost. They care for the hurting. They encourage the depressed. Effectual doers sacrifice meeting their own desires and needs in order to meet the needs of others. And they, as James says in verse 27, keep themselves from being polluted by the world. If we are true hearers and true doers of the Word, they go hand in hand. We will be active doers if we are true hearers. If one part is missing, then the other part was never there. Hear me when I say that. If we are true hearers of the Word, then we will be active doers of the Word. So I ask you this morning, are you looking into the mirror of God's Word, being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry? And how are you responding to what you see in the mirror? The Word of God is where we find God's mission for our life. It's where we find His mission for the world, for His kingdom, for our church. How will you know your mission in life if you are not hearing from God, the Creator and the Sustainer of all things? And where else do we hear from God than in His Word? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." The Word is God's complete and final revelation through Christ Jesus our Lord, who is the full embodiment of His Word. And when we go to the Word, to Jesus Christ, listening and hearing from Him, let's not get too comfortable in our reading chairs. For Jesus says in John 13:17, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You have given us Your Word through Jesus Christ. Give us the will to do what it says. We ask these things in His name and by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Amen.